Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
Who's with you today?
Lucas is breaking up. I'm here, Juan Carlos.
Oh, good, Carlos. Yeah, Luca's breaking up.
He walked away a little bit from the desk. He's coming back.
I went. Sorry for that. I went to the printer.
Okay.
But now I'm back. Now I'm back. Sorry for that.
Right.
And Rob, the one who is not able to make it today is Pablo.
Okay.
His wife is pregnant. And they have today to go to the doctor for a regular control, the echography.
Yes, wonderful.
Yeah. So good news on his side. Yeah.
That's fabulous. Congratulations to him in absentia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So how are you? And happy New Year! And
thank you.
What's on your mind before we get started here?
Okay, great. Thank you. Happy New Year to you too. Actually, what's in our mind? A lot of things. First of all, we realize with Juan Carlos that we are very behind. Okay, we haven't done our homework. Okay. And we sat down and review everything on the business plan that we had to do. Okay, we didn't organize ourselves pretty well to do it. Okay, that's basically where we stand. Okay, because at if I remember correctly, this call we should have send you our business plan. Okay, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And we haven't. Okay. And
okay.
So
remember,
you're
the student, but you're also the boss.
Yes. Exactly. We had an interesting conversations with Juan Carlos. There were just for you as context, there were some news on the last quarter. Okay, so basically the team is gonna be myself and Juan Carlos. Okay, for this year, Juan Carlos is gonna be mainly working with me. Okay, prior to that, I was sharing Juan Carlos with two other FAs, and also I was sharing another CSA, okay, that was Giselle. So probably maybe you remember her. She was in
mm-hmm.
Okay, now so it's gonna be mainly with Juan Carlos. Okay, we also had interesting conversations about the future, about partnering, about his development, about his compensation, and aligning interest. Okay, so that was basically the closing of the year and the beginning of the year. Okay, and now we realize ourselves that We should move on with this seriously, and one thing that also made us realize this is a new client. We are working on. Okay, it comes from a friend of Juan Carlos. Okay. It's a small client, but there might have potential. Has a lot of illiquid assets, in the process of doing the discovery, the conversation, and so on, we realize that basically we don't have all the things in terms of a good process, you know, for the investment profile, for all the different stages of engaging with a client, you know. And for example, the one page with a pitch, you know, with our team, our faces, our brief description, and so we realize and yesterday, for example, we were working on a proposal for this client, and the conclusions it was very obvious. So we did the gap analysis, and we scored very badly. Okay. I would say almost zeros on everything. So that's where we stand. That's the truth. And I mean, we realize we have a lot of work to do.
Well, but you know, keep in mind you're successful, so it can't be zero, right?
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, we have to look at the bright side, at the positive side. But it's taking a toll on us, you know. It's taking a lot of extra time, and we are not working in the way that we think we should be working. Much more organized, okay, with process in places, and everything is being done, you know, in a rush or more at random, or more on based on clients' demand and or on capabilities and so on. So we should stop this definitely. And that's it.
Well, I mean, that's what you hired me for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help
me.
Get organized and then stay organized and help me grow and then continue to grow. And that's what I'm supposed to do for you.
Yes.
So, you know, that's you have to just follow my instructions and we should be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not complicated.
No.
But you do have you know, we have to help each other, and I have to be there for you, and you have to be there for Juan Carlos, and everything works, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Does this include Supernova, or you're implemented Supernova though, right?
Yes, we're implementing it, but. In parts, you know, we are taking those things that are, let's say, easy for us. Basically, the scheduling, the monthly conference calls, okay. But that's working, and little by little we're trying to keep adding clients. And what I think, and I was talking to Juan Carlos, that we have to have everything, like my idea for this year is to have everything simplified, you know, as simple as possible, everything, the investment process, the portfolios, everything, and then from a minimum, once we feel comfortable with that, start building up, you know, adding more things. For example, basically I fall in love with the concept of the enthusiastically endorsed providers. I like that. I find it so interesting, so attractive. I think it's a great tool, or the centers of influence and so on. But it's like we should start from a very, very basic, you know. So we realize we don't have. Although we have, for example, investment profiles with clients, okay, that we know that this client is conservative or this client is moderate or is aggressive, we don't have a process in place you know, to deal with engaging a client in the investment profile. You know, how we do it, if we do it over the phone, or we do it by sending him, for example, a PDF with all the questions, and we talk over the phone, or the client rather wait for me to travel and do it face to face, you know. And then what do we do with that information? Where do we keep it? We just discovered there's a tool in the system here, basically to load and to have the profile of the client. It's something new, okay. There are a couple of new tools also. One that is fabulous that relates to risk metrics, you know, to all analyzing all the risk of portfolios. So we were thinking about that, and we were talking like 15 minutes about what process we should have in place for having investment profiles, you know, and I think I'm getting the concept of this business plan and what you're trying to make us do, and then I said to Juan Carlos, we should work on the process, and we should try to see how many clients we have and start setting up targets. Let's do this week 5 clients, the other week another 5, and keep moving, you know.
Right. That's exactly right. See, that's a business plan.
Exactly.
Where you knock off, you say we've got 105 clients. We're going to knock off, you know, 20 this month.
Yeah.
You know, and then yeah. you don't panic then, and you don't get upset, and you don't look at all the work, and it's too much.
Yeah.
You want to set that. Yeah, it's too much. It becomes too overwhelming.
Exactly, exactly. And I get anxious and
right.
Like, and then if you are not going, then it's like an emotional thing that I get overwhelmed. Like, I'm not going to be able to make it. It's so much. It's so, you want to do it, but then it's like a lot, and have that a mixed feeling. So That's why I said to Juan Carlos, the way I think I should be dealing with this is like try to keep it as easy and as simple as possible, and start doing it, you know, because otherwise we don't do it. It just it stays in an idea, and we don't implement it and put it in place.
All right. So here's what I would suggest based on what you've said. Is to take each one of the parts. Mm-hmm. So the director of planning would simply say, how many plans do we have done?
Mm-hmm.
How many do we want to have done?
Mm-hmm.
Total.
Yeah.
How many can we do this year?
Yeah.
And how many can we get done in, say, the first quarter? Okay, that would be the whole plan for the director of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Director of implementation, you're clearly saying, has got a lot of work to do in terms of the process.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's three things in that I see. One is organizing the 24-month calendar. That you should do. That will get you organized, you organized.
Yes, we have a template. We work on that one. But we should review that. I mentioned this to Juan Carlos because we did it with you. I don't remember which week.
Right.
We work
but it should
on
be
that.
Front. It should be front and center, you know, for that. So,
yeah.
Make up a folder for each of the 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So take one of the blue folders and make up a folder, Director of Planning. And then put the 1-page plan in that folder for what you're going to do for planning. Director of Implementation, separate folder. That should have your 24-month calendar in it. Okay? it should also include your business process for your process for investments.
Okay.
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 The another folder for the brand manager, director of brand management. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Supernova. All right. You're doing that. Director of marketing and leadership, director of marketing. And that is where your enthusiastically endorsed overall list should go.
Okay. Okay.
And then director of leadership, we'll talk about what we're going to put in that. But for now, you know, that's we'll build your mission, vision, purpose. That goes in there. We'll also, the overall business plan goes in there. And then the meetings between you and Juan Carlos go in there. You know, his personal development goes in there. But that's that I don't need to do right now. The first thing I would suggest doing would be the director of implementation is number one here.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the investment process.
Yeah.
And the 24-month calendar. Get that so it's in writing and in that blue folder or whatever color you use.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And then the second thing would be your marketing director, and begin your enthusiastically endorsed list to go in there. Now, here's the way I would do it. Okay. You have your 24-month calendar. As part of your 24-month calendar, I would attach a question that would relate to the enthusiastically endorsed list. So the first question is, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? That would be January. And then February would be, can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney or your attorney? They're two different things, as you know. But you know internationally what's the most relevant advisor.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would do that every month, a separate question for each person. It's a wonderful conversation. And in many cases, it's, I don't have one.
Mm.
And you make a note of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to go into a long discussion.
Okay. And you're saying that we should incorporate these questions in the folder of planning and implementation.
That's right. In implementation.
In implementation.
Right. Right. And then for each client, when you talk to them, make a note in their profile, you know, have a page for this enthusiastically endorsed, you know, have an enthusiastically endorsed page for each client. And then just check them off as you ask the question. So
okay.
You just ask one question, though, each month. Don't go into, like, you don't send it to them. You don't have them fill out a form. You don't. You just ask them each month that question for that month.
Okay.
So it'll take you a while, but you're going to have really good conversations. If you have time, you ask them, you know, if you have... I don't have an estate planning attorney. Have you ever thought about the fact that you might need one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you have anybody in mind? No. would you be open to an introduction to someone that is enthusiastically endorsed in your community? Oh, sure. We have to introduce three and then just tell them about your process.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, okay. And Rob, on brand and service, this I get a little bit confused here. With
okay, so brand management, brand management, there's a lot to it, but for our purposes, we're trying to simplify things so you don't have to go crazy here. It's really supernova and
okay.
operations and service.
Okay.
So it's client contact and solving problems.
Okay. I like that, client contact and problem solving.
So if you'd never heard of me, you'd have to build a system. But you have Supernova, so it's virtually taken care of if you do it.
And I see as a competence, you mentioned basically owning the CSA, owning the calendar.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Juan Carlos, any questions? How do you see? Do you understand everything?
I can. Yeah, I know that I'm responsible for the calendar, especially with the follow ups and reminding Luca what we did in last call, what was pending, what tasks have been complete, and I'm clear on what my tasks here. I'm responsible for the calendar. And all the follow-ups and the reminders.
And Rob, one question. I think on this, we should also be doing a process, right? Process on everything. On the calendar would be Juan Carlos sending a couple of days before the call. The summary of what we have discussed the previous month, sending an alert to the client, also printing and handing to me or my desk that same copy of the previous month call and everything should be detailed in a process like. Step one, step two, step three, step five.
Here's my suggestion on the process. You create an agenda that's customized for each client. All right?
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be
have
complicated. Yeah.
Yes, no, we have that. Three, four things. Yeah.
Right. And then you send that ahead. With attached to an email confirming the appointment.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you get a reply back that it's confirmed in one way or another, whether it's an Outlook or it's just an email back, you know the appointment is on. Mm-hmm. You have the appointment. You go through the agenda. You create then an executive summary from the agenda. So if there's if you've agreed on something, then it can be commented on that we're moving forward or this is complete. You then send that to the client and you keep a copy in your folder or on your computer. It depends on how you want to do it. So you don't resend the summary before the next call. I don't think that's necessary. That's an extra step.
Okay.
Okay. The agenda is more important than the summary from the previous call. He should have the summary from the previous call. You've done.
Yeah, he should have in previous emails. Yeah.
Yeah, he completes
because,
the loop.
Right, right.
Right, and he could look it up if he wanted it. You sent it to him, right?
Right, exactly. We send it after the call. Okay,
it,
but
and
what
it should
we...
Be, yeah, it should
yeah,
be on an email. It should be on his email trail,
right,
you know.
Right, 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 right. Okay, okay, perfect. Yeah, so basically that's what we are doing. But what we should, I mean, we should have it as a process, and a process for all the different areas, you know, planning, implementation. That's what we should be doing, Juan Carlos. And once we have that process, then should come the way to do the follow-up, right, with the score and the game board, right?
Right. Yeah, get yourselves organized with this stuff first,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get this done. Get this part done.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. It sounds like you've got too much in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got to get it down and on paper and complete.
Yeah. Before moving on or keep adding things. Yeah.
You know the next steps. Just put them aside for the time being and work on one thing at a time, get it done, move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would suggest that when you do so. So I've outlined the three most important things to get done first, because those will involve every single call, okay? So the fourth thing I'd tell you to do is go back and build a process around your investment process.
Yeah.
Okay? I know you have one, but fix it so that you're happy with it. I mean, if you want me to go over it with you, I'm happy to. I don't do that typically because everybody's process is so different.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly, you know, after 40 years, I know what an efficient process is for managing money. Okay. So you can tell me what you're doing. I can make suggestions based on your prototype. You know, I like a matrix. I like the fact that you can use the matrix kind of for everybody and then just vary it according to the person's risk tolerance. So your asset allocation, you know, controls your risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And then your matrix controls your performance.
Right.
So, you know, if you're reaching for some more return, you know, and you think the markets are going to be good, you're going to increase your equity allocation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to increase your returns more. You think the markets are going to be good, you'd increase your emerging market allocation. If you're risk adverse and you think markets are going to be shaky, you'd reduce your emerging markets, put more into established markets, high dividend paying stocks, bonds, etc. Right? We know that. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Sometimes it's good to articulate it just to kind of think about it and then not make it any more complicated than that.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. What else?
Well, we can make it, we can, you know, we can get into parts and parcels of things, but tell me about your calls. Are they going well? Are clients valuing it? We had a pretty good correction in the market.
Yes.
Are they?
Yes. You know. Yes. We know this, the difference. I mean, they feel more on top of things, and they know where they stand with their cash flow, with their risks, performance, what's going on. Yeah, it's definitely helping.
Yeah, it helps. And when they get nervous, if you've built a plan, you always go back to the plan.
Right.
And the question I always like to ask clients is, have your goals changed? So when they ask you, should they sell out, you ask them, have your goals changed?
I'm writing down, Rob.
And that's where you get them to calm down. When they say, what do you mean? Well, you know, when you came here, you had the following goals. You wanted to pay for your children's education. You wanted to save for your retirement. You wanted a house in the mountains or at the beach. You wanted this, you wanted that. So we have a fund set up for your children's education. We have a fund set up for your retirement. We have a fund set up for that beach house. What of those goals has changed? And they say, nothing. Oh, really? Okay. So none of your goals have changed. Right. Okay. So we built a plan to reach those goals. And the time frame is such and such for the children. You know, we have 5 more years. For you, for retirement, we have 10 more years. And for the beach house, we have 3 more years. So what has any of those changed? And then they might even get into a discussion. They may not want the beach house anymore. They may want it tomorrow. You know, they may want it in 5 years. Who knows? But see, you're getting them to talk about them, not the market, right? Talk about their life, what they want. So you've got 10 more years to till your retirement, right? So clearly, the market will fluctuate, but in 10 years, the market will probably be at least twice what it is today. Mm. So if we sell out today, when are we going to get back in? And how much of the market are we going to miss? And the rate of we only need a 4% rate of return in order to reach a retirement goal. And we've been able to get 7 or 8 up to now. So it seems to me that we're in pretty good shape there.
Yeah.
See, that's what you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. That's how you shift the conversation from something they can't control to something they can control. And if they say, okay, so we're ahead of what we said we wanted, does that mean we can take less risk going forward? Yes. We can change our allocation. And if you're more comfortable, we can do that. So we go from a 60-40 stocks to bonds to a 55, you know, whatever, 45. Would that make you more comfortable? Yes. Okay. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. You see, you've made a minor adjustment. You haven't thrown the whole thing out.
Yes.
That's how you turn a client from being a speculator into an investor. And you say to them, you never really were a speculator, were you? No. Well, let's be an investor. Investors don't jump in and out of the market. They adjust their asset allocation. And frankly, when the market gets cheap, they buy more. And when they get expensive, they sell equities.
Right.
Okay. So that's, I mean, we have to remind ourselves because we get emotionally attached to the outcomes for our clients.
Oh, yes.
And yet the clients are fine. See, we have to remind ourselves that the clients are fine. The client started with $8 million. He has $17 million now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just because the portfolio went from $17 to $15 million doesn't mean the client isn't going to reach their goals. Yes, they lost $2 million. But they made $9 million or $9 million. Okay? So
yeah.
People forget that they were very happy with $8 million. They should be much more happy with $15 million. Right?
Right. Yep.
And we just have to, yeah. So you got to think of yourself as either athletics, where you play offense and defense, or you think of yourself in a military position where you're attacking and then you're retreating. Okay, I mean, think you make some good analogies that people say, okay, look, we brought the ball down the court and we scored in soccer, right? Mm-hmm. We brought the ball down the field and we scored. It's mm-hmm. their turn. The market is high. We scored. Let's play defense. Keep them from scoring. Market's low, let's get on offense. Score. So that way you use your cash always as defense. So you raise a little more cash after you score. And then you put that cash to work when you're coming up the field in order to score. I think clients would understand that, right? That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? We just went from $14 million to $17 million in value. We just scored. All right? The other team has the ball now. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to try and score on us. Let's raise some cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come down the field, we'll have the cash to go back up the field. Worst thing that we do in the world is to have a market sell off and not have any cash, right? See bargains.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has any cash at the bottom except for Berkshire Hathaway, right? He always has cash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you say cash is king. I mean, when you need it, it becomes important.
Right.
Perfect. I understood that. Yeah. Thank you.
I think it's a good analogy. And you know, your clients will like it because they understand and they like games, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, easy.
Mm-hmm. Easy to understand, and they like to have some strategy. And you don't have to have much of a strategy except for that. It's just that can be enough. You know, keep it simple. You don't need all these elaborate puts and calls and all this other stuff. Just raise some cash, invest the cash. Raise some cash, invest the cash. Things are getting too good. We're scoring too easily. The defense is going to get the ball. They're going to score on us soon. So let's raise some cash. Right, the other team. The Bears are going to get the ball soon. Let's get some cash so we can get back up the field to score. I like it. That's a pretty fun analogy. It works in South America, too.
Oh, yeah.
So how's Brazil?
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, so far it's going well, okay? You know, this new president could set an example for the rest of Latin America. In Argentina, basically everybody is admiring him because he went straight ahead tackling the most important issues. That's something that our president Macri didn't do in Argentina. Okay. So they see Bolsonaro in Brazil as a strong man. Okay. Basically, he's going after drug traffickers, violence, and so on, you know. And it's too early to tell. We'll see what happens, but so far the market is very enthusiastic about it. It's been rallying. The equities, the bonds, now everybody wants to be there. And let's hope it goes well, because it will be a good example for the other countries, because in Latin America, basically what you have is a sort of polarization. You know, you have people that will go to the left and others that would go to the right, but in extreme ways, you know. So you will have populism or you will have very, very right side hard guys, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah, I've continued to invest because I made money years ago in Brazil and stayed away forever. And it seems to be, you know, it is one of the richest countries. It's a big country, and I'm fairly constructive on it from where they came. I don't think they want to go back to where they were. It was pretty horrible. And you know, I think a lot of countries are fabulous countries. They just have had such terrible leadership that it's not allowed the people to grow and bloom and the countries to be economically as strong as they should be.
Yeah.
You know, so as you say, you know, I'm not ready for Argentina, but I think, I don't know, maybe I should be ready for Argentina. Should I invest in Argentina?
Oof. I mean, if there's, you know, this year is going to be an election one, okay? And if Macri gets reelected, you will have a huge rally in equities and in fixed income, okay? Everything is cheap, you know, everything is cheap. So there's an opportunity, but risks are high. Then there's as a minor chance, a small probability that the former president could return to politics and be again elected either as president or maybe as governor of one of the most important provinces. the market last year started selling Argentina, sold Argentina basically because of that fear. Okay, and in the next couple of months, the economy should improve, and if that happens, the popularity, the pulls, they're also going to show better numbers for Macri. If that happens in a constant way, it would be a great time to buy Argentina, because at the end Macri will win and you will have a huge rally. Okay.
So some just put your toe in, huh?
Pardon?
Put my big toe in?
I mean, you could. You could. Yeah, you could. Yeah, but keep an eye on it, you know, keep an eye on it. Because the first thing you have to look at it is inflation. You have to look at at macroeconomic data. Inflation has to drastically go down. The FX, the peso against the dollar, has to keep in a certain range. Okay, we don't have to see the same crisis or volatility that we saw last year. Okay, so if you have that situation of you have FX stability, you have inflation going down, and you have better numbers on the economic front, that would be the base that we need to see Macri get reelected.
Okay. Good. Well, it was ugly to invest in Brazil. I didn't do it. So I did it at, you know, I buy the EWZ. I bought it at 38. I'm okay at that price, I think. And I'm, you know, maybe it seems to be pretty stable. Anyway, I like it right now.
Okay.
Anyway, I appreciate the feedback.
No problem.
We get very little real understanding of what's going on down there in the news, you know. They don't cover much.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So I think you've got a clear plan.
Mm-hmm.
Any and all that you want to put on paper and email to me, I will review. And I think that's always a good thing to do.
Yes, that's Juan Carlos. That's what we should do.
Yeah.
Do the processes, put it on paper, and shoot it to Rob and get his feedback.
Okay.
We will be working on this.
Yeah. Anytime you write something, it reduces your anxiety, and it actually.
Oh, yes.
Draws you towards that goal. So whatever you write for goals will actually come through. It's crazy, but your mind works on it in sort of a subterranean way.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Rob, thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
thank
it very
you.
Much.
That's...
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.